Bob, could you establish a quorum, please?
Yes, Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill. Steve Adams.
Here.
Brad Lawrence.
Here.
Doug Fabian.
Here.
Randy Fogle called to say he wouldn't be here. And Randy Hayes is out sick. Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And George Kramer.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Okay. Are we going to do the election now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do the elections 2015 officers.
I make a motion we retain the officers we have.
I second that motion.
Everybody in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I guess it's going to stay the way it is. Could you explain the meeting procedures, Bob?
Okay. I'd like to welcome you to the January 12th, 2015 Taney County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application, which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for the case to be heard this evening. A staff report will be read for the case, followed by a video presentation of the site and any questions for staff. If you wish to comment, as the chairman had indicated, you need, there's a public hearing sign-up sheet here at the front, and registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it is your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon conclusion of public comment. The Division 3 application heard this evening shall be voted upon next Tuesday, January 20th, during the Planning Commission regular hearing. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, the first, well, the only one is a public hearing on Hickory Nut Hideaway.
Okay, this is case number 2014-11. The project is the Hickory Nut Hideaway Nightly Rental. The applicants are Jeremy and Kelly Worley. And this property is located at 2030 Tate Road, Ridgedale, Missouri. And we'll kind of zoom in here on it. And I've got the property highlighted here. Again, the property is located at 2030 Tate Road in the Oliver Township, Section 22, Township 21, Range 22. We've got a north, south, and a west view. For whatever reason, we don't have an east view from pictometry. The applicants are requesting approval of a Division 3 special use permit in order to utilize the existing three-bedroom single-family residence for nightly rental. The background on this, on June 27, 2006, the Planning Department issued Division 1 Permit 2006-286, authorizing the construction of the single-family residence in question. The approximately 1,700-square-foot single-family residence is currently listed on Vacation Rental by Owner website as containing three bedrooms and two bathrooms. The property in question is served by an on-site septic system and a private well. On September 1st, 2006, the Taney County Regional Sewer District issued septic permit number 2006-258, authorizing the construction of the septic system in question, which includes a 1,000-gallon septic tank and 200 linear feet of 10-inch SB2 pipe with gravel 24 inches deep. In November of last year, the Planning Department received a complaint indicating that the property in question was being utilized for nightly rental without a special use permit. On November 10th of last year, upon receiving a call from the Planning Department staff, Mr. and Mrs. Worley submitted the Division 3 special use permit application seeking Planning Commission approval for nightly rental. The current, as you know, the current application was approved for concept on December 17th last year. The general description on this, the subject property is approximately 19,371 square feet and is described as Lot 71 of the Long Point subdivision. It contains an approximately 1,700 square foot residence and again located at 2030 Tate Road. In review, the Taney County Development Guidance Code defines nightly rental as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 days, counting portions of days as full days. And so currently the applicants would have the ability to rent the residence for a period of 30 days or greater, but basically they're seeking approval of the special use permit allowing for nightly rental, so for periods less than 30 days. Essentially, the exterior appearance of the single-family home will remain the same. Per the nightly rental provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the maximum occupancy for nightly rental shall be two persons per dwelling unit plus two persons per bedroom. So since this is a three-bedroom house, it would have a maximum occupancy of eight people. Again, the property is served by an on-site septic system. Scott Sterrett, with the on-site wastewater permitting, has been out and visited the site and basically has found no signs of any on-site violations or failures of the septic system. The property is served by the existing drive off of Tate Road. Per the nightly rental provisions of the code, basically one off-street parking space is to be provided for each two persons of occupancy, and therefore the code book would require a total of four parking spaces. The residence has an existing two-car garage, and essentially the driveway would accommodate at least the other two cars, meeting the minimum parking requirements. A nightly rental application, as you know, falls under the provisions of a special use permit. A special use permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. Per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the special use permit also cannot be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. Basically, the adjoining land uses immediately to the north is Long Point Road and some existing single-family residential lots. The adjoining property immediately to the south and to the east is primarily vacant lots with some light residential. The immediately to the west is Tate Road and some additional vacant lots as well. Excuse me. The project received a total score of negative 23 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 29. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of off-site nuisances, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, use compatibility, and traffic. The staff recommendations on this: if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District and the Missouri Department of Revenue, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, a valid Missouri Department of Revenue sales tax license shall be provided to the Planning Department office prior to the issuance of a certificate of compliance. Fourth, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Fifth, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Sixth, this residence shall accommodate no more than 8 persons per night. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Haney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. 7. A vegetative buffer shall be established along the northern property line between the residential structure in question and the existing single-family residences immediately to the north. The buffer shall comply with the minimum requirements of Appendix H, Section 6 of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Number 8, the Hickory Nut Hideaway Nightly Rental has been approved as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. And 9, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. We've put together just a brief video of the property in question. And of course, this is the front of the residence, and we've just done a quick 360 to show the neighboring uses. And then I did walk around to the back side just to kind of show what's behind the existing house.
Back to the things we were just reading. Okay, Jeremy, you want to come up? You want to leave that there a minute?
Kelly.
They've got a few. He's got a few things I think he wants to reference as well.
You want to tell us what you're doing?
Yes, sir. Well, the main reason why we're asking is that we bought a house in Branson. And we had a buyer for our home in Ridgedale, and it fell through. And we are attempting at this time to figure out, you know, what to do with the property. So I've got quite a bit of experience managing condos, vacation rental condos. So we decided to do this on our property. And we've lived in the area for about 7 years or so, and there's been vacation rentals in the area, some approved, some that aren't approved, and to our knowledge, nobody's complained about them. And when we had the idea to do this, I asked some of the adjoining property neighbors if they had an issue with it, and nobody did at that time, including some people who now are opposed, but We actually opened up a VRBO listing to see if there would be anybody that would even inquire. Our original thought was that, hey, this is probably maybe too far out from town and people might not like it. But as we started getting inquiries, we thought, oh, this might work. So we talked to an attorney and asked him about this, the using a vacation rental as a single-family home in Taney County. And he said that, well, Taney County has a type of zoning that's called performance zoning and not traditional zoning. So Mr. Davis said that at that time you don't really have to apply for a special use permit until there's a neighbor complaint or something like that. And then there was a neighbor complaint, to which we immediately complied within the same month. So we are asking for the use really just until we're able to sell the property. We don't want to upset the neighborhood, but we bought the home in 2007, and anybody who's bought property in 2007 knows that the market conditions are kind of bad. And in my experience, vacation rentals have brought up property values in the area. As a matter of fact, if you look at the data put out there on the MLS, you'll find that the only areas that have appreciated in value since 2008 are areas that allow vacation rental. So I thought, well, maybe this will be a good thing for the community. Another positive for the area is that, and we've seen this happen, this actually happened on Tate Road. There was a home that was being used as a vacation rental for some time, and one of the people who stayed in the vacation rental ended up buying the home and remodeling the home and improving the area. So we thought this would probably be a compatible use. As we go up and down the road, Bob, if you want to show slide one, as we started to get inquiries and interacting with people that were wanting to maybe stay in the area, you know, we asked them, what are you coming to do? A lot of them are going to Dogwood Canyon. A lot of them are coming to the wedding hall, reception hall, which is Integrity Hills, which is less than 1,000 feet from my home. And we actually called the reception hall, and we asked them if they had any use for overflow property, to which they replied, yeah, we try to put it in our lodging, which is right there on site, or they try to put it in Big Cedar if there's overflow, but they do say they do have a need for that. We've inspected some of the other areas. There's a disc golf course, shooting range, Big Cedar, Top of the Rock, especially with everything that Mr. Morris is doing there, including the shooting range, which they actually own property right on Tate Road there. We thought, well, this would probably be a compatible use. And as you go to slide two, Bob, it kind of shows the subject here is the star down there to the left, and the red line is the 600-foot mark. And then you can just kind of see how Integrity Hills is close by, and that's where another previous location. There's been some other vacation rentals closer to the home, but I didn't know exactly where they were, so I didn't put them up there. So that kind of gives you a bird's-eye view of the area. And in our concept hearing, we tried to show that, number one, this won't violate the covenants of the land. One of the reasons why we bought this home in the area is because we thought this area would develop as a second home destination, a place where people would come to vacation, and it seems to be doing that. And we wanted to be sure that it didn't violate the restrictive covenants, which is here, and there are no restrictive covenants to this. Matter of fact, one of the reasons why I chose this property when I was buying it was that there really aren't many restrictive covenants. You know, the same freedoms that give somebody the ability to put up a metal building, or some people even have chicken coops. You're not supposed to have chickens there, but some people do. Nobody said anything, and it's just there's kind of a, those are freedoms that give those people the rights to do that. We kind of appreciate for ours, and we're really not asking to run a resort. We're just wanting to rent our house maybe for 6 months at a time, maybe for a month, and if given the option, rent it out on the weekend. And we've already gone over parking and everything like that. We are available 24 hours a day in the event that somebody needs help. We've spoken to many neighbors who support it. For a number of reasons, they see this as a positive use. They think a well-maintained property will be better for the area. They think it'll, you know, help bring in a higher class of people than the people that are already kind of hanging around Tate Road. You know, Tate Road is a truncated road, goes right into the lake. And so sometimes we get some public swim from some undesirables sometimes. And we've had traffic down there for that reason. I know that one of the concerns people have is there's a dock down at the end of Tate Road. Some of those undesirables have damaged the dock, so I understand there's a concern on that end. And so we've addressed that. We actually hope to include into our rental agreement some actual specific language that says you're not allowed on the dock. If you're found down on the dock, you'll be evicted immediately. And we're going to make everybody initial that. Some people might say, well, nobody reads those rental agreements. Well, they do if you make them initial it, and they do if you hold them liable with the security damage deposit. So that would be our intention. Regarding noise and traffic, we have three kids and two dogs, and we've lived in the property, and we occupy it for 365 days, and we thought that a property that's occupied 150 days or less would actually be less of a impact on the area with noise. There's currently ATVs running up and down the road, and we wouldn't even allow any of that, so we feel like it would be a low impact. And we've also heard that some people have, you know, started a petition signing against us, and for a number of reasons, one of them being that this type of use will create a permanent commercial use, and that if this is approved, it'll open up the opportunity for other commercial uses, say junkyards and whatever else. And you know, we know that it doesn't create a, per your guidance code, doesn't create a permanent use. It's non-transferable. And I don't know if everybody who signed the petition was understood that specifically. And I guess my biggest concern is, I'm not going to rattle on. I know a lot of people want to talk, but my biggest concern is that there's been vacation rentals in the area, and a lot of them have been unapproved. And when I was talking to some of the people petitioning, one of the gentlemen said to me, one of the gentlemen leading the petition said, well, I'll allow you to rent your home out, you know, until the spring to help, you know, to get it sold if you withdraw your request for a special use permit. And another gentleman who's on the petition, you know, one of the neighbors reported back to me that said he told them that it's just personal for him. You know, it's just personal. And I just don't want to be subject to, you know, one or two neighbors that have aggressively pursued all the other neighbors and filled their ear full of stuff when none of the other rentals that were in the area bothered them. And I think what's threatening to them is the fact that we did comply immediately upon the complaint and are applying for the special use permit. I think that might scare a lot of people. But we complied because it's the right thing to do. So thank you.
Thank you. We might talk to you here a little bit more later. Rhonda Wilson. Folks, we've got, looks like about 14 or 16 names here, and you're all welcome to speak. We'll be here as long as you want to talk, but if this all kind of pertains to the same thing, well, you know, maybe we can not have to go over and over.
Right. I'll keep it short and sweet. Just as one of the original owners of the boat dock, one of the largest boat dock, we've been coming to this area since 1998 with our boats and our kids and our grandkids, and we do see a lot of litter. We see speeding. We see things that, you know, that we'd rather not see, and so that's my complaint and my concern is, you know, all the trash that's left that I know a lot of the residents have to pick up on a weekly basis. And we've had vandalism this last year, and we've had to go to the extra expense of cameras and just general concern. They've gotten into our houseboat, and, you know, nobody wants that. So even though we have a no trespassing sign, that does not stop people. So that's my short and sweet concern.
Anybody want to ask her anything?
Do you have a house there?
No.
Okay.
No.
You own part of the dock?
Uh-huh.
And did you say you were going to have an agreement, rental agreement, that they can't be able to rent the house, can't go down to the dock? Or?
Yes, sir. We do have an existing rental agreement, and then we would add language specifically mentioning that there have been some concerns about getting on docks. No one is allowed on the dock, and we would have them initial so that we know that they've seen it, and we would additionally provide for immediate eviction if found on the dock.
Yeah. Is the dock gated?
Yes, but that, as we've seen with our cameras, does not stop people. With holding a beer bottle in their mouth, they can get around, and they could definitely swim from the shore and just get on the dock, you know.
But it's obviously a private dock.
It is. It is.
Anybody else? Okay. Thank you, Rhonda. Larry Wilson?
I should have just came up with her. Well, I'll try not to reiterate too much that Rhonda just spoke about, but I'm Larry Wilson. I own part of the dock, part of the first main dock. There's three boat docks down there, two 16-stall boat docks, and then a small four-stall boat dock. And right off, I can appreciate Mr. Worley and his house. I mean, for those of us who built houses back in 2007, 2008, we know what happened, and I certainly appreciate that. My biggest concern is if this is approved, all it does is open up the possibilities later on. You know, you talk about the possibility of having on your agreement that, you know, you'll be responsible for not going on docks and this and that, but the only way 100% sure is that if they're not in the house. If they don't occupy the house, then they won't be on the docks. You know, I mean, it'd be like, you know, if you rent a house and you have some of your neighbor kids or your neighbors come with you, you're also responsible for them, but yet you can't be responsible for them. Being down at the dock year after year after year after year, we see the total neglect or just pure negligence of, you know, you talk about private dock. We have signs, private property. We have members only signs. We have camera security signs. I mean, the first main dock is well displayed that it's private property, and yet there's just so many instances we've had people just have no regard for that, and they just walk on the dock, or they'll swim over to the dock, or. And I'm not saying that that's what all of the tenants that might do the nightly rental would do, but it certainly doubles or triples the opportunity. So I'm concerned about that. The parking area down at the dock area is already inadequate. It's already limited. So I can see, you know, those of us that have a vested interest in the dock and have put money into it and a lot of time and years spent on the beach, I can see us driving down there to go enjoy a nice weekend on our dock, and we just have to turn around and go home. There's no parks. You know, I think all of us, not just the dock owners, but also a lot of the homeowners in the area, you know, we go down there, and it is a public beach. But we'll go down there on a weekly basis during the summer and pick up trash and beer bottles and broken beer bottles and
dirty diapers,
syringes. I mean, you name it, we've picked it up down there. But yet, you know, litter is against the law. But, you know, people, they have no respect for that. So I think the only way to limit some of that is just not to open this up. There's plenty of other areas. That if somebody wanted to get into nightly rental, there's plenty of other areas around there over on all over on the road, the next road where Long Creek Marina is. You know, there's nightly rentals over there. And to my knowledge, there was only one nightly rental on Tate Road, and it was operated for a while. And then they had a complaint, the one that that Mr. Worley talked about, that the tenants ended up buying the house. But I don't think there's been any other nightly rentals. It's not a commercial area. It's all independent, family, single homes and neighborhoods. Some of them been established, back before the lake was even here.
Where do you live up there?
I don't live in the neighborhood at all. I just, I have the docks. I own a houseboat and a ski slip on the dock. And I've been there since 1998, so as far as the area, I think I'm pretty keen on the area and what we've seen and what we would like not to see. I'm not against nightly rentals. I'm just in my own backyard, I am, when there's other areas. But anyway, I think you can get the gist as far as a dock owner and part of that community, what I think it would do as far as undue traffic. Okay?
Thank you. Oh, sorry. Did anybody have anything for him?
I got to wait till I'm dismissed.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Sharon Tate, or Gate? Gate? I'm sorry.
My husband and I, Dwight, own two lots at 2070 Tate Road, but we live in Nixa right now, but we're planning to build down there when we can afford it. And we have two slips on the dock that's showing right there at the top. There's that little one and then this middle one. My husband is the dock master of that dock. And we have had vandalism, and we have had things stolen from our property and from the dock. And we just really don't need anything else, we don't believe.
Where are your lots at?
We've got a pointer here, too.
There should be a little pointer there somewhere. We have trouble keeping our pointers.
All right, sorry. Okay. If I can get the right. Wait a minute. I just push.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Where am I at? There I am. Okay, that right there where that word long, we have two lots right there, and our two slips are on that dock right there.
Okay. Thank you.
And we bought there precisely because there were no nightly rentals, there were no condos, there were no apartments, and a lot of the places that we looked, and we spent several years looking, had all sorts of things around it, and we decided that isn't what we wanted. We wanted somewhere where it was going to be single-family dwellings, and it was going to be a subdivision someday. Maybe not immediately, but it will be a subdivision, and that's what we wanted. And we don't think that a nightly rental is a good fit for a subdivision. And we do believe our property values might suffer because there's more chance for things to happen because of a nightly rental. And I know of the one place that he has discussed that was further up Tate Road that was a nightly rental. I didn't agree with that one either. And if I had known back now, I know that I could have objected. I didn't know I could object and do anything about it. And I would have objected a long time ago because not only did he nightly rental, they used one of the slips on our dock, and I don't think that's even legal to house boats from those people. So I was wondering if people are not going to have any boats if they're at this nightly rental, and if they do, what are they going to do with them? There's nowhere to launch boats down there very well. You can, but it's difficult. So that's one of those things that, where are they going to put a boat if they bring one? And what are they going to do with it? So basically, we object because we just don't think that rental people will respect the land or the property as owners will. Okay, and that's all I have.
Thank you. Anybody got any questions for her? Victor. I'm sorry, I can't make out your last name, sir.
Last name is Acklin.
Acklin.
A-C-K-L-I-N.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
One of our main concerns is the water well. Earlier he stated it was a private well, and if the well is shared by two other families, doesn't that make it a shared well? It is. It's not a private well on the property at 2030 Tate Road. Their lot number is number 71 at 2030 Tate Road. Our lot number is 68 and 69 on Long Point Lane. So the only difference is the width of the street is where they're neighbors. The well is located on lot 71. Along with other concerns, ours is a shared well with the property at 2030 Tate Road. The third party to the well is not even identified on the well water right document. There is no comfort in sharing the well with anyone, in my opinion, but to share it with nightly renters, people unknown to us, that makes it even worse. There is an open threat of inappropriate behavior on the part of the people that have no invested interest in the property. There was a required maintenance to the well in August of 2014. I can imagine the lack of urgency by the property owner in correcting a problem to the well if there's no nightly rental people occupying the property for a period of time. Our mutual water right agreement is dated 19th May 2008, and it makes no allocation for renting the property. The Worleys are placing their former home up for rent for one reason. That reason is to make money. The objective is not to beautify the neighborhood or improve the landscape in any way, but to make money. Their whole objective is income driven. It is not a commercial area. It was developed for the purpose of home ownership with the added responsibilities of maintaining and improving the property value. And then suddenly, without notice, we see state license plates in the driveway, showing up in the driveway on that house. Some of the state plates are from Kansas, Indiana, Oklahoma, and even Missouri. They have no vested interest in the property or the surrounding area. How do I feel about that? How would you feel about having people unknown to you drive into your neighborhood to stay for short periods of time, week after week, month after month? I say this is not 1956, when a person's surroundings are quiet and peaceful and you can leave your door unlocked at night. However, a couple of years ago, we left the house with the garage door up for a couple of hours, and when we came back, nothing was disturbed, everything was fine. But with undocumented visitors staying in the area for short periods of time, I would feel compelled to hire a home security company. This is a time when the Muslim population is growing and seem to be thriving, and I've seen it recorded that they set up strongholds in northern Missouri. Should I think about the possibility of getting killed by some Muslim because they saw me going to church some Sunday morning? I don't want the possibility even considered of people living temporarily across the street. That's all I have to say.
Anybody got any questions for Victor?
Yes. The well is shared by three...
Yeah, three families.
Three families?
Right.
Or three properties?
Three different separate properties.
And you have a well agreement with all three?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
It needs work because there's different families moved in there, and my side of the agreement is actually from the contractor that built the house. My name is not on the contract either.
So it runs with property.
It runs with property, right.
Where are your lots, sir?
68 and 69 off of...
Take that little laser there and point them out to us, please.
What? I've seen those before. 68 and 69. Can you help me find it? They're Long Point Lane.
I could go back to the Let's see. Sorry. Let me... here's 71 and 68 and 69 are here on the other side of the street, so... Okay.
I don't guess I understood your concern with sharing a well with a renter versus an owner. I mean, what do you think they can do to the well?
I don't know. I don't want to find out either.
The well's not on their property.
Well, you can only put three houses on a private well. Are you on that well that's built on that property in question?
On that's right, on lot 71.
In other words, your two lots in that one would be three residences, and they don't. And the other well, that's what I'm trying to get clear in my mind, because the well to the southwest or south or whatever, that's it in the corner of the property.
Of property 71.
And it will not serve water to the property next to it, adjoining it, but it will serve you.
Yeah, it serves three of us.
When I bought the home, there was no well agreement. I bought the home from Scott and Dennis Thielen. Before we closed on the property, I thought it would be a good idea to actually have a well agreement drawn up. They both agreed, so we had a lawyer draw up a well agreement. We talked about many of the things as we were drawing up the well agreement. And one of them was, do we make it okay for sprinkler systems or not? We agreed that, yeah, it would be okay. We talked about a variety of scenarios, and we specifically didn't put in there any language about sprinkler systems or commercial use or anything. So it's this home right here, this lot 84, that's on the well. My home was on the well, and Vic's home was on the well. So those three homes. Vic's home is actually on two lots. His home was actually
on the two lots.
Okay.
That's right, 68, 69.
In other words, there won't be any other lots hooking up to that well.
No.
So according to state statute.
Yeah.
So it's really this one, and then is it that one? Or that one? Okay, that
there
one.
There you go.
So these three.
Yes,
okay.
All right, now I understand. Thank you.
I'm a visual person.
Thank you, Victor. Charles. Schreinberger, am I getting this right?
That'd be me, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a property owner down there since 88.
Come on up, sir.
And I usually don't have anything to say as far as this, what this man's doing.
Wait until you get up here and talk to that mic, would you please, so we can all hear you?
I say, as far as what this gentleman's wanting to do here, all I'm interested in is how many people would be there at any one time. I don't live down there. I know I've got a lot of property down there, but I never have lived down there. And so I don't want to make any rules and regulations for the other people that do live down there. I do have property involved, which, you know, I've sold some from time to time, and I've sold more, but I just didn't have any offers. And I would like for the area to stay like a single family residential type setup. If people came there to stay overnight, it wouldn't bother me any, as long as I'm not down there now. Like I say, you're getting all kinds of people anymore, and I won't say any more about that. But I think if it's something like that's going to happen, it ought to be well regulated, and the Planning Commission has that job. And I've trusted them all these years, and I've got no reason to mistrust them. And I just like to be a good neighbor myself, and I expect everybody to treat me like I treat them. So, as long as that happens, why? I see no real problems. I know a few people here. Danny Sherwood, he knows me and has known me for a long time. And I know I've sold lots here. There's people right here tonight. And I didn't try to hide anything. Everything was on top of the table. And that's about all I've got to say for it. So if you anybody wants to ask me any questions, why, far away. I don't know what I can tell you about it, but I appreciate people that have the initiative to, you know, try to make money and try to better things. And as long as it's for the better, that's good. If it's not, you know, if you see anything wrong with it, like I say, do what you're doing tonight. Do you have any questions for me?
No, thank you, sir.
Okay.
Leo Dixon.
Hi, folks. Excuse me. I'm Leo Dixon.
Yep. Is that Kelly? Is her name Kelly?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Go ahead.
I'm Leo Dixon. I know Jeremy. He's been a neighbor of ours for years. He's a fine person, but I have a disagreement in what he's doing. I am a neighbor. Excuse me. I'm not good at this. I live right here. Jeremy's house is over here. We've talked to several people in the neighborhood, and some people are for it. The majority of the neighbors are not for it. The surrounding neighbors, there are a few people that are maybe possibly for it, but there's a few that are just on the fence, and I understand why, and that's fine. But, and I can't talk for everybody because it's just talk, it's not writing, but we do have signatures of the ones that are opposed to it, and the majority are. If I take just a moment. This guy, these are opposed. This guy, and this is, you can go by my signatures. This guy, he is questionable. He signed opposed. We got a guy up here that's opposed to it, so he's a nearby neighbor. Of course, Vic's already talked. And we got a guy over here, and there's a lot of empty lots. Mr. Schindelberger, he owns a lot of lots in the area. They're vacant. So whether that's one vote or two votes, I don't know. He's stated his opinion, and I do appreciate it. It's very honest about it. The point of it is we bought in this area, and almost everybody that I pointed to there bought in the area for the same reason. It's a neighborhood. It's a subdivision. It's not a commercial area. We are opposed to not knowing. We want to know who our neighbors are. That's the big thing. We don't want to get in their business, but we do like to know who they are. The streets are narrow. The parking is bad. Dogs have been hit. Children walk that street.
This street here. Come out of this house, you're staying there. Jeremy advertises the lake. Well, I know why. That's a good thing. These people walk down here, blind curve. This is a very steep street right there. People have been close to being hit.
You got to be careful on those streets. There's no ditches. Well, yes, I'm sorry. There are ditches. There's no shoulders. The big thing is, also, we do have a lot of people up the road who are not for it, which we have signatures of that. I know a few people are for it, but the majority of us are not for it. That is the strong point here. And I think that's what speaks volumes. Most of us are not for it. And for the very same reasons. We can talk about this all night, safety, roads, and everything. But that's the main thing. The parking is an issue there, garbage cans. Jeremy's done a fine job. He's in the business. and he does a good job of renting his house, which he's already done, which I'm kind of surprised because when the permit was filed, he did go ahead and file and get the permit and still rented the house out almost every week after that, even though he hasn't had approval. So I am questionable about that in the future. And as far as him signing, having people sign, that's good. I do appreciate that. But we sign a lot of things, and then our kids go do something else. And then somebody's held responsible for that. But usually it's after the fact, before you find out, and these people are gone. So trying to think what else. But anyway, the point of it is the majority of the people in that area are against it because they bought in that area for a reason. As far as it helping property values, I apologize. One of our people that was going to write or be here tonight didn't make it in, is a realtor. I'll throw a name out there because most of you probably know it. Tammy Turner personally told us, Tammy and Frank Turner, they own property in the area. They have boat slips. They are opposed to it, but I apologize. I don't have the signature for them. But Tammy's opinion is, as a realtor, no. Property values won't go up. They will more than likely go down. Now, if you're selling your house to be a nightly rental, that person, his property might go up. But the rest of us, our property is going to go down because I want to stay there. I plan on staying there for a long time. So that's about the gist of it.
Okay.
Any questions?
Anybody have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Dale Crabtree.
Me and my wife were probably the newest to people at Long Point, and I'm probably going to shift gears a little bit here and explain why we're here. What's drove us here is we come from Lake of the Ozarks, and I just put our notes on the phone we got, and I'm just going to read it off. We've experienced nightly rental repercussions on Lake of the Ozarks on many occasions. Most always when vandalism or violence offenses would occur, it was nightly rental guests involved. Most of the time, it was not renters themselves, but their guests that were with them. We could not allow our kids or family to use public water access or roads due to the partying, vulgar language, and careless speeding traffic. Violence seemed to always be present with nightly renter guests due to they have nothing invested, so they have nothing to lose. Trashing and putting our neighborhood in danger. I agree, nightly rentals work in their, when they're in town where law enforcement is readily available, or in a designed nightly rental establishment such as Big Cedar where security is on staff and available. When nightly rental property is in a rural area, 30 minutes from law enforcement response, it is normally a nightmare. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody got any questions?
You live in the subdivision now.
I do. Is this the pointer? I'm this one right here, and this one right here, both sides Morningstar.
Okay. Full time hold.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're Kelly. And we got a James. You guys are on the list, as you know, ahead of some of these others, but we're going to run through them, then we'll come back to you.
Am I
I'm a separate lot owner. You're a separate lot owner.
I'm not on the application at all.
No, but you are a family, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And we don't always agree.
Yeah, that's pretty much family right there. If that's all right with you, but we'll work it that way, and then.
Are you telling me I won't get a chance to speak?
No, you get to speak. I just want to let the other people on this side of the room, I guess, speak first. Dan Sherwood. I think I know you.
Well, you look familiar, too.
Yeah.
I worked for Road and Bridge, the county.
Yeah, we both got old since we've seen each other.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
I don't have a whole lot to say. It's just rehashing what we've already talked about, you know, about concern traffic and trash in the dock down there and too much traffic on the road right now. We can kind of walk around the area, you know, when the weather's nice. And not worry about getting run over or nothing, and we kind of concerned about that. And the road's not really built for a whole lot of traffic, as you can see. So we're kind of concerned of more traffic down there. And like this says, like Dale says, once you start the nightly rentals, you don't know who's going to be down there, who's coming in, whose kids are playing down at the dock. Or I own the first acreage up above the lake lots, and you know, if you got people coming and going, they'd probably go out and try to camp in the woods there or something. And we're kind of just concerned about outsiders coming in more than anything, and the rest of them are all kind of concerned about that. That's about all I got.
I've got a question. They've all talked about this trash and rubbish. How long has he rented this nightly rental? When did you start, Jerry?
It was November 1st. November, end of September.
Okay.
No, it was November 1st.
Was the trash there before he started renting it?
There's always been trash. I can remember I was the last place. Nobody was living below. And my kids was in high school. And the kids would come down and party. And me and the next door neighbor, the other 10 acres, would go down there and straighten them out with the sheriff patrol. And like I told the kids, I says, we don't mind you partying, just clean up when you're done. But then they'd come up the road, I think on a beer chase, beer run. And I think they had figured out how fast they could get up and get six pack down. And they'd hit my mailbox trying to miss somebody else trying to get to the party. And I said, if you just slow down, you can have a good time down there and clean up after you're done. But outsiders, what are you going to tell them?
Thank you.
Have you noticed any increase in the amount of trash or anything down there since you started renting it?
No, and I don't go down there much anymore. I don't fish. And these boys has got boats and stuff down there, so they're down there cleaning it up now. And I just taking their word for it.
Okay.
But it's always been kind of trashy because, well, it's the only place to get in the lake without paying. One of the last places left here in Boone County. So that brings everybody in.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Rhonda,
yes,
could you answer that question that George just asked? Thank you. Barbara Dixon.
Hi, I'm Barb Dixon. I'm Leo's wife. I live at 2111 Tate Road. Right here.
It is Barbara.
Yes, Barbara, Barb. I'm just going to kind of wind things up. I think I'm the last one to speak.
No, there's two more, plus we got a couple over.
Well, I mean on our side, the opposition side.
There's two more on this.
Okay, well, I'm just going to try to fill in what hasn't been got left out. People don't want to be long-winded. I wasn't quite ready. I'm sorry. Did I leave the picture over there? See the picture? In regards to the dock, like they said, the street is very narrow. And I just want to show you a picture that we took tonight to show you what the launching area looks like. There's ruts, there's ditches. It's really, we don't even launch our boats there. It's so bad. We go to area dock, other docks, marinas, to get into the water now. To have nightly rental people come in and actually use this is only going to tear it up more. The Corps doesn't want to take care of it. Like they said, there's not enough parking. But I did want to show you this picture. Wow, that moves. Okay. In regards to security, we have had vandalism in the area. In fact, the lady next door was sick, so she could not come tonight. But I could get something written from her if it's not too late. She is probably the person that's been the most affected by vandalism. She went to church. She came home. There was a naked man running around her house. He was throwing electronics over the dock. He was blown out of his mind. He was down at the waterfront. Now, she doesn't want to go through anything like that again. And it is very scary. We live next door to her to think that such a thing could happen. Nightly rental people, they will come in even though they are screened or Jeremy thinks they're good people. People break the rules. And you can't always judge people. And we've had thefts and vandalism on the dock. We've had the police come down. And they have helped the situation greatly. However, with nightly rentals, it will only exasperate the problem, whatever. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. I don't want to talk. But anyway, it will only make the problem worse. And in doing that, then, we won't know exactly what's going on. And who could it be? And we can't take care of the situation. We're finally getting it under wraps. And I guess we're also worried about, animals in the area, even though they're told, maybe the guests are told, the rental guests are told not to bring the animals. As we know, not everybody listens, and not everybody does what's said. And I've had my own pet bite other people. It doesn't mean that their pets won't bite other people if they bring them in, even though they're not supposed to. Nobody thinks their pet will do it, but they do. The property devaluation, I heard on the news that since the Water Patrol is now doing the state highways, that our crime has increased along the waterfront. And with that being said, nightly rentals will only, once again, make the area a little more insecure. And out on the website, you can find a place where all the crimes are listed for 30 days. Greene County has it longer than that. So if Taney County wants to change that, they could. And you can also subscribe to this.
Yeah, we're not debating what they need to do to change that.
That could devalue our property also, yeah. Because, real estate agent, prospective buyers would go out and look at that. I do. I try to buy in Greene County. I go out on the website. I look for sex offenders. I look for all that stuff before I ever buy rental property. So, and once again, I try to go in an area where I know people don't mind. And I try to get into an area that I don't, where the people will want the rentals. So, all in all, I guess that's pretty much what it is. Some of the neighbors are worried about the traffic and the noise. They have to get up early to go to work. They're afraid of the parties in the area. And I guess that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening and being patient with me.
Anybody got any questions for Barbara? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Robert Dodge and Gene Blair, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
It is Dodge?
Yes, sir.
I've been looking forward to using this, so. Man, I broke it. There I am. That's my house right there. Can you see the red dot? There's Long Point. That's my house right there. There it is. Jeremy's house is right there. So you can understand I was a little concerned when he mentioned this back a couple months ago. I have a wife, two daughters, and I've lived here almost 40 years. I've actually lived in this house here going a little over 4 years. And we moved from a place that was pretty quiet. Didn't have any neighbors. About the only thing we had was big cedar traffic. So I know what traffic's like. The folks that he's renting to, I stand outside in my yard with my kids, watch the grandparents throwing footballs to their grandkids. They're barbecuing out there. You drive by, there's going to be a Lincoln Town Car, an Escalade, $60,000, $75,000, $80,000 rigs. He's not renting this for $50 a night. He's been renting it to a higher class of people. They've got a fenced-in backyard. I told him, I said, you know what? If I ever see any trash laying around, I'll grab it up. These folks that he's bringing in are extremely courteous, extremely nice. They wave like they're your neighbor. I've seen every single person that's come in there. In the last 4 years that we've lived there, I can't tell you how many bags of trash we've hauled up from that private or that public use area down there. Okay? These folks aren't interested in going down and partying at the lake. These are folks bringing their grandkids to the shows. These are folks down in the area that are enjoying the peaceful neighborhood. I haven't had a bit of problem out of any of them. I have no problem being a neighbor right across the street from them with the folks that he's bringing in and the way he's screaming them. I have no problem with it whatsoever. He's got family of his own, so he knows what family quality is, and he's been very careful about that, I do believe. Again, he's not bringing in 18-year-old, 19-year-old college kids. He's talking to these people. He's screening them.
Show me where you live again, Robert.
Right across the street.
He's right across the street.
That's
house to the left or the right?
That's my house, right?
Okay.
There.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought I'd zoom in a little tighter.
Okay, there you go. That's me right there. So I get to see everything that goes on there.
Okay, thank you.
In my opinion, since he's been doing this, the landscaping has improved. They've spruced the place up, painted it. It looks good. It looks nice. You can tell by the video that that Bob took. He's kept it up. And I can see where he's going. The two other pieces of property that I know firsthand that we're doing the nightly and weekly rentals, they look better. They're... one of them actually sold, and I do believe the other one probably would have sold too to a renter if the owners wouldn't have had to move back into it. So I don't have a problem. I don't have any opposition to it, and I'm on the corner right behind him. I think what he's doing is smart and a good way to market a piece of property for a short term. I don't see a problem with it. This is the guy that built my house.
Gene, you want to say something?
Yeah, I've been down there probably as longer than most of them, and there's just been so many things thrown out, which is fine. It should be. That's what we're here for. But as far as the trash goes, it's always been that way. It's a public launch. The road's public. We get people right now driving down I've never seen before. It's not coming from Jeremy's house.
We got a constant flow of traffic down there. People just looking around to see if there's a house for sale. There's just so many things that have been thrown out that has nothing to do with Jeremy's, what he's wanting to do. And it was brought up where Jeremy's out to make a profit. So be it. But he's also trying to hold on to a home until the market gets better. And I'm just not one to take food out of somebody's mouth. If that's what they have to do to try and survive so they can get that sold, I'm not taking food out of the children's mouth. And I don't see one thing wrong with what he's wanting to do. I don't think it'll bother anything whatsoever, and I'm definitely in agreement with it. I'm sure my neighbors won't talk to me now. So that's all I've got.
Okay.
Are we cool? All
right. Anybody got any questions for these two? Thank you, guys.
You bet.
That's Gene Blair with the white hair. And the other one is
Robert.
That was a joke, Gene.
Yeah.
Tracy Lightfoot, am I saying that right?
Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mainly just here to confirm, really wasn't brought up, but Jeremy had mentioned that his house is on the market and that he is trying to sell his property. I am a real estate agent in the area. I have shown his home 3 times, so I'm just here to confirm he does have his house on the market and he is actively trying to pursue a buyer for his property.
Are you the listing agent?
Well,
no, I am.
Jeremy's the listing agent. I'm his buyer's agent. I work for Jeremy's brokerage, and we do have it currently listed. And we are within the top 10% of the realtors in the area in 2014, and I can confirm to say that property value is going up in the areas that nightly rental properties are taking place because they are upkeeping the properties. The properties are not being ran down from having monthly tenants in there because there's less wear and tear on the properties.
One more question, if you don't mind. Do you consider the asking price that you've got on a realistic price?
Absolutely. He has a listed for $179, and for a property that close to the lake that has been completely carpeted is an excellent price. Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Leo, I'll allow you one question.
Well,
you.
She is the realtor, I understand. One question that I have brought to Jeremy in the past is, if it's for sale, why isn't there a sign out front?
Come back up here.
Well, I understand. He says, well, if we put a sign out front, it's hard to get nightly rentals. Well, I don't quite understand that. Sure, it might be. But if you're actively trying to sell it, you got to have a sign out front. I personally think he's going to make more money on nightly rentals than most everybody does. He does a good job with nightly rentals. He makes more money doing nightly rentals than monthly rentals. But if you're serious about selling it, sell it. Or rent it out monthly. When asked, why don't you rent it out monthly? Go tear it up. Well, a lot of us have had to bite the bullet, bargain the wrong economy, whatever, and I understand he'd take a hit. But still, if it's for sale, at least put a sign out front. Be active about it. Yeah, it's on Zillow, but come on.
Okay. We've hashed this 2 or 3 times here. You want to answer Leo's question?
Yes, sir. Basically, with nightly rentals, it's not uncommon. We work with a lot of nightly rental clientele who sell their properties, and it is not uncommon not to have a sign there. And that is because for the fact that their properties will not get rented if they have a sign sitting in the front yard. And as far as, you know, the nightly rental clientele goes, you know, they are paying a higher amount per night to stay there. So you're not getting somebody who's going to rent a $50 a night hotel room. You're getting higher class, you know, folks that are down there. And the property actually is listed on 900 websites. So we're not just on Zillow and Trulia and Realtor.com. We actually have software that puts them out there, porchswing.com. You Google the address, it will come up on four pages.
Okay, I'm glad you said that.
Can I ask you a question? Is the thing rented mostly over the internet? Is that how we're renting it?
You do that over the internet, correct?
If it's rented over the internet, why would having a sign on the property make any difference if they're looking at it on the web?
Because they go and Google the property. So I'm actually doing myself a disservice by having it for sale. And I told Leo that when I was talking to him. I said, you can go and Google my address right now, and it's to my own detriment that I am listing it for sale. You know, but I don't want to be a major concern to the neighborhood. I just want to be able to make my payment until I rent it out. But we all know from the real estate world that when you rent it out long term, a lease takes precedence over a sale. So we've got to wait for 6 months. I remodeled the property last summer that somebody trashed, and I just painted the property. I just painted the inside and the outside, stained the fence. I did everything just
the sign.
Signs make the renters uncomfortable. They're afraid that people are going to come in and look at the home when they're there, and it takes away from the guest experience, the resort experience, by having the for sale sign.
Is
there.
Really the house on the market list?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And I can email that to Bob if you guys need me to.
Let's call her quits, okay? Here.
You got some over there.
I've got, Kelly Worley.
I'm sorry, I know I didn't sign up to talk, but my husband and I just bought a beautiful home and spent a lot of money on it. My question is...
If you're going to speak, come on up, please.
My question is, if we're going to allow this to happen to Jeremy's home... I've seen your home, Jeremy. It's fine. I've also seen other homes on Tate Road that aren't so fine. So what if they decide to rent those out? Jeremy, you're telling me that you are screening
please
the people.
The board. Yeah.
Well, he is screening the people who are renting this out, and I'm fine with that. The people who don't have, as nice of a home, maybe, if this goes through, does that mean that they will be allowed to do this also? Is this a free-for-all after if this goes through? Because if it is, the people who don't have such a nice home, maybe they're not going to screen their people as well. And we all know in the day and the time that we live in, good Lord, it takes one bad person to destroy a family.
We're not here talking about anybody else that's coming in your subdivision to do a nightly rental. We're talking about Jeremy.
But will this be allowed to open up so they can?
Like I say, we're not talking about anybody else. We're talking about Jeremy's property.
But should that not be of interest to us who own homes there? Should we not be afraid that if this does happen, that other people will be allowed to do it? Is that a reality?
It'll come before us. This is a permit for specifically these people right here.
Okay, but will
if
this...
If these people do anything else with the home, that goes away, and there is nothing based on compatibility or anything else that will ever happen. It has nothing to do with any other property in the subdivision.
Okay, but will this open up? I'm just asking.
No.
It won't make it easier for the next person.
Not necessarily.
No. Okay, as a homeowner, that is a big concern of mine, and I know all of the other homeowners here. And again, I bought a big, beautiful home there.
Well, I understand that, but the code is written, and there's copies available, and we're not dealing with the whole subdivision or any other properties. We're dealing with this one issue before the commission tonight.
This is the one that's in front of us now.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Tonight is not going to make it card blocked for anybody else.
It will not make it easier for anybody else. That is a guarantee that it will not. Okay, I just thought they would open it up, and, you know, that is a big concern.
We deal with every case in a different fashion. So we're dealing with.
You followed that. It was up there on the board.
And I guess another concern also, too, is, you know, they say that they will kick them out or whatever if they destroy something. But that something is destroyed. Me as a homeowner, you know, we know from being on the dock, it's hard to regain from this, from things that are stolen from us and such. You know, I'm sure Jeremy can kick him out and do whatever, but, you know, again, I'm afraid that that they have destroyed is destroyed, and it's more money on my pocket. And I also pay big taxes to be here, to be, you know, to know my neighbors. Dale and I have gotten so we know all of our neighbors. And it's just, and we have our grandchild there. And it's a loving community that we feel safe at because we know our neighbors. And it's just scary to have somebody in there that I don't know and not going to get a chance to know them because they're going to be there for a night or two. And, you know, again, guys, this is a bad world that we live in. It's a scary thing. And I feel comfortable where I'm at now. And I don't feel comfortable with strangers coming in for one or two nights and doing as they please. I'm sorry, but I just don't feel comfortable at it.
Okay. Thank you.
One quick question, if I was just going to ask.
Terry
Fletcher.
Cratcher.
Or Craig. Okay. That's all I was going to ask.
We got a letter here.
For the minute.
Okay. Now. Where's she? Yeah, you come on up. James?
Yeah. Hi. James Worley. As you've already seen, I'm related. I own lots 72 and 73 in Long Point, just behind the property on 23rd Tate Road. We've owned those for 4 or 5 years. We have no opposition to what Jeremy's trying to do. We know he's been involved in some of these before. Turned out very well. He's dedicated to the community. I don't think anybody that knows him personally would have any question about that. I spent a lot of time on those two lots behind his property doing some maintenance. I noticed from your photos you caught just a little glimpse of the lot. And in some of your other photos, a lot of the lots aren't maintained. A lot of people may own them and have access to this by either a vote or a letter, but may not have as much personal interest in the area as some others. I understand that people who live there have concerns, but in spending a lot of time and helping Jeremy with maintenance on the place, and as he's stated and others have spent maintained pretty nicely and it has just been redone for the purpose of the sale. Standing out on that lot working, you see cars go by, flying by. Some people wave, some don't. I don't know a lot of people personally in the area. But I do know there's a lot of ATVs, golf carts, things that are fun to have when you own a piece of property at the lake. But their speeds aren't governed. They're probably not licensed for the street. So there's a lot of traffic, and the traffic that I notice people who may live there tend to drive in their own neighborhood a little fast. So that may address some of the issues of the traffic and the danger. The property owners on the boat docks, I can see a concern there for them, but it appears that there's a problem already that has been existing for a long time before this issue ever came up with 2030 Tate Road. They've installed cameras. They're trying to do what they can, the local police, the authorities. That would be, I suggest, how they address that. We have personally, my wife and I, who just had to step out with a youngster, have done vacation rentals not owning. We have personally rented in different areas of the country. And it's absurd the amount of information that they take from you now. They have my Social Security number. They want my credit card number. They know where I live. They take a copy of my driver's license number. If I did anything wrong, like anyone in that area, and they pursued it, and they could prove that I did anything, then that would be a matter for the law. They could find out who's causing the problem. I don't think that the caliber of people in a three-bedroom condo and the type of people that come to the Branson area to rent and be here and spend their money and look for vacation homes or look for another place to build a second home is going to be part of the problem. Now, everybody has their opinion on that. I do know that a couple issues. One of your items on the list was a vegetation row. I know for a fact there was a tree on the corner some time ago, Tate Road and Long Point. It looked like it died. One of the neighbors took it upon themselves to cut that tree down without the owner's permission. I noticed that the gravel road, which is Long Point, one of the owners that lives there took an issue upon the how much the grass grows up of the pitch and sprayed weed killer on the lawn. So there may be some other issues other than just the rental agreement. So, but my last point, also that since we own the lot, we put in a culvert back there so that I can park back there, not being the driveway. We have offered to let the homeowners use that for overflow parking. Doesn't necessarily mean there'll be too many people there, but if a family drives their own vehicle and it ends up being out, they're more than welcome to use that lot for overflow parking, which I don't think will cause a problem for any of the other neighbors. One last thing is we have a family, in-laws, son-in-law, daughter of 11 people. When we're all there for the weekend, there's not an issue with a sewer, the septic system. There's not an issue with the water. There's no other real problems with overloading the house. There's no trash issue. I don't think we... So, the one last point I'll address is with the water well, I personally helped my son establish an emergency power supply via 8-kilowatt generator for that well house. In case of an ice storm and the power went out, that all I have to do is go in there and plug it in, start the gas generator. Everybody, if they didn't have electricity, would have water. One of the people on the list for the well opted out of that, asked for all the money back that they supplied for parts and leave. So basically, we have no opposition. I've known the gentleman for a long time. He's not the kind of person that would do anything dishonest. Thank you.
Anybody got a question for him? No, no more out there. We could be here for a long time.
And we'll be available. I'll stay afterwards as long as anybody needs to answer questions.
His wife, she's standing right out there. She went up there.
Yeah, I was going to say, does Kelly want to speak, or are you where you can speak? Okay, sorry about putting you on the... I thought it would work better that way. But I didn't mean for you to have to be outside. Well, I apologize for that. I think we're... Everybody has spoke on the list. Jeremy, you want to come back up? Has any of the board got any questions for Jeremy now?
I've got one too. How many are there other nightly rentals in this whole area?
I don't know that there are currently any at the moment.
Okay, and how do you screen your renters?
What we do is we don't take any inquiries by the internet that we haven't spoken to. We have a system that we've used quite well. When somebody calls and they ask about a particular date that they're going to stay, we say, let me check my calendar. And, of course, I know if I'm available or not. And so as we're checking our calendar, I'm asking them some questions. Well, where are you from? Why are you coming to Branson? Who are you bringing with you? And if they say, well, you know, it's, you know, spring break and it's just a bunch of guys getting together, I hate to say it, I'm very leery against all men groups because they sometimes... get kind of rowdy. So we don't typically rent to men's groups unless they're, you know, willing to pay more of a security deposit. But for the most part, we've just said no to them. After doing this for about 6 years, we know which people are going to cause a concern. And if they say, hey, we're coming in to party, we say, oh, you know what, we're booked for those weekends. But if they say, it's got to sound normal, it's got to sound right. And if they say, hey, we're coming down for mom and dad's 60th. A lot of times it's just a couple renting it. They just want a bigger property, and they just say, we're here for a quiet weekend. One time someone was writing a book. You know, they'll tell you exactly why they're coming. And we also do take their driver's license and with their credit card. We pre-authorize them for security damage deposits, and we do have them initial things that we really want them to pay attention to. And we don't allow pets. We've never allowed pets, never had a problem with pets.
Okay. could you answer Ronnie's question there on the nightly rentals? Didn't you say something earlier about nightly rentals down there previous?
That there had been a few properties in the area. I don't believe there's any now. I don't believe there's any now.
They have.
Up the road.
They have been in the past.
Recently sold, yes, in the past. Within the, I'd say with, gosh, that piece of property up there as you're coming down the hill, I believe it was owned by. Anyway, they within the last probably 6-7 months, it sold to actually one of the previous renters.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, that wasn't in the subdivision.
Okay.
Well, I was right behind Bob, and there was a weekly rental right across the road from me in our subdivision. Nothing was ever said.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Anybody got any more questions for your Jeremy, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
I went through so many names here. Anybody got any questions for Jeremy?
Has there been any single incident that prompted the neighbors to disagree with what you want to do that you're aware of? Has there been any particular incident that you know that's involved a renter that has done something to disgruntle the neighborhood?
I believe I spoke with Leo about it, and he said that he was packing for vacation, and somebody came down and asked for Jeremy, and where's Jeremy's place? And I understand it upset Leo because he's packing for vacation. And he was afraid someone might know he was gone, and I believe that's when he called into the county and turned me in and complained. But what's interesting about that is that Kelly is the main contact on the rental agreement. It's not me, so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know who it was.
Thank you. Everybody done?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
I just have one thing I want to say. When it came to a night rental in the area that was right across from Gene Boyer, that was during the time when there was an economic downfall, his wife had died, and he did not rent it out as consistently as Jeremy has, and it was very, very infrequent. That we didn't even really know it. And we looked the other way and then he moved back in.
Okay.
Otherwise, we would have.
Thank you. So the next meeting is Tuesday?
Yes. January 20th.
That will be the regular meeting. We will vote on this then. You're all welcome to come back. Any of you that want to come back, there will not be no speaking at this next meeting. But you're all welcome to come back. So we're done with the Hickory Nut Hideaway. So any of you that want to leave, or you can stay and listen to the rest of the deal.
I'm interested.
But you're high.
Be 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
same time.
Yeah,
same location.
We've got some other things here we need to discuss, but you're welcome to stay. If you decide to leave, please be quietly as you go. And if you do any discussion, try to do it around the corner so it don't interrupt us, please. We'll wait a minute here for everybody to thin out.
I'm good. Glad to see you're still upright.
That's right.
Should I adjourn this? No, we got it.
I'll say it.
Anybody that's not wanting to stay, please exit out the door. Anybody that wants to stay, please be quiet. Old and new business is discussion of 888 Street, Highway F property.
Yeah. On that, what I wanted to talk to, I wanted to get the commission's feeling on this one, right or wrong, and I think we've got a couple of the folks here to potentially answer questions if there are questions on this. What prompted this? I received a call from the realtor, and basically the realtor had asked me what the zoning was on this particular piece of property. It's at 888 State Highway F, and
thank you.
The only thing I've put together is I just put together some aerial photography just to show where it's located. It's right on F Highway. The property is owned by the Thurmans, by Pat and Carolyn Thurman. And basically what I found when I went to look up the zoning on this, a Division II permit was issued in 1986 for the construction of a single-family house. The thing that was interesting about it, though, is it was issued as a Division II permit. Normally, a Division II permit would have been issued for a commercial use. My thought is, and the applicants may be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but I speculate that the Division II permit was for the construction of the house, but it appears at that time that the house was utilized as a bed and breakfast. And from my understanding, it was utilized as a bed and breakfast.
In 1992, we opened the bed and breakfast and requested it then.
Okay. Okay. I guess, essentially, they're wishing to sell the property at this point, and the new owners potentially want to use it for nightly rental. And we were essentially going to we were essentially going to ask if that would be used as looked upon as a new special use permit, a new Division III special use permit.
My personal opinion, I think it should be.
And that, and that's all.
Bed and breakfast. I mean, it's a bed. Yeah, I mean, you can rent it at night. It's a bed and breakfast. No kidding. It's already a night.
Yeah, but it's changing hands.
Yeah, it's changing hands.
Yeah, but was it a special use permit or was it a Division II regular permit?
Division II.
At that time, it was a Division II, so it was issued.
Was it issued as a special use permit?
It wasn't at that time. Yeah, that's all I've been able to locate was a. I never found a Division III permit. I found a Division II permit, and it just speaks to a Division II for the construction of a single family dwelling. But I speculate that it was had to be issued. The only reason I can see that it would have been issued as a Division II is normally if it was a single family dwelling, it normally would have been a Division I permit. And so immediately I thought, well, I assume it had to have been because they knew it was going to be a bed and breakfast. But it's more than a little bit of speculation on my part.
Well, one time it was all one property with the storage units. So the storage units would have been commercial. And then they got the storage units all separately.
Yeah, and you are correct, yeah.
Where that came from, the storage. Those two have different addresses, but they might as well be one because they don't distinguish between them even though it's sold. When they Google, a lot of people that came and stayed with us Googles, they pulled up the storages. But they were not the rentals in the storages probably.
So what are you wanting us to do, Bob, is
both really, I think both the applicant and myself, I think I felt safer to come to the Planning Commission to ask if the Planning Commission felt this required
do we need to vote on one way or the other what we think we should do, or?
That's what the staff would really like to see.
In other words, you want off the hook.
I am.
I think you nailed it.
I know we're kind of off.
But really, truly, think.
Go ahead. This has been a bed and breakfast for 20 years.
Well, it's been one from 92 to 2002 or 4.
Okay. And you want to sell it, they're going to use it as a bed and breakfast.
Right. Well, allowed to use it. They
as the nightly rentals.
Basically what that gentleman's wanting to do.
Nightly rentals.
We also had a wedding chapel there. I sold it 2 years ago in February. So it's been a business property this whole time.
Does a Division II permit give you the right to have a nightly rental?
At that time, it probably did.
Well, why should we want to change the law?
That's what I say. I think it's grandfathered in.
Well, that's good, but it might be a concern to the new buyer. That was part of her deal.
Well, it won't if you either get an acceptance or rejection here, then it shouldn't be any concern. That's what
we're trying to establish. You all feel out there.
We're trying to do here. Let's get back on track. This is a meeting, not a...
Have we been over there and put up a notice for the neighbors and everything and went through all this routine? Okay, so we're going to decide whether or not we want to decide.
Well, exactly. This one was kind of an unusual case, just because, like I said, I searched...
Well, we've done some others, and it's gone both ways. I personally don't have a problem with it.
I don't either.
I'll make a motion that this place of the Brown be used as a nightly rental if they so desire and fill out whatever kind of paper you need to so that all other people buying it know they're not going to get in trouble.
Well, all we're doing is honoring the existing previous code, and I second the motion.
You second it? Everybody approve?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Okay. Looks like you're in good shape to me.
He wanted to know if he could ask you a question.
Yes, George.
Was that too long a motion? Do I need to be that motion next time?
And we will. I'll provide you with the ladder.
What's this major sub?
Well,
flat approval progress.
On that, this is the only reason I wanted to bring this up. We've got a set of subdivision regulations now that are separate from the code book that we adopted a few years ago. And this is going to be a little different. For years, a subdivision was viewed as a Division III permit. And when we removed the subdivision regulations from the code book, basically, a major subdivision is just viewed as a major subdivision. And so you're going to be seeing a major subdivision. Basically, this next meeting, you'll have a concept request, and it's going to be kind of an interesting one. He's requesting nightly rental, the ability to do nightly rental within this entire subdivision, but he's also requesting plat approval, and they're really...
Two different things.
They're two separate processes
that's
now.
Apples and oranges.
And that's the only thing I wanted to put out there, is it's really two separate processes.
He's not talking for blanket coverage on the subdivision for nightly rentals.
He is. Well, that's what he's asked.
What he has in mind.
That's what he has in mind. I'm not... But that's all I wanted to spell out. I didn't want to go into specifics.
Because these are hard enough anyhow.
But
that's coming up.
You'll hear the concept this next meeting, next Tuesday.
Everybody in February, by the way, I want to welcome George Kramer and Brad Lawrence to the Planning Commission. But next month, there'll be things that we talk about, and we're going to have a concept too then, right?
That was what the Planning Commission agreed on.
I didn't know if you had one or not. You're talking about the one that you just mentioned is going to be actually next month, not March.
Yes, the public hearing will fall.
While we're still in public meeting and public session, there's one thing that did concern me on this other thing there, and that was the screening on the side of it like that. And I'd like to, for you all, just think about it when we get into it. Next month and decide. I think we need to decide what the screening issue is or whether they can put a fence up there or not before we get into the voting. I mean, because I think that might be, to me, it's of importance there because You get into the screening along the side of the road, you're getting into blocking view and traffic.
Talking about the buffer zone, is that what you're
talking
about?
Yeah.
Well, his dad said he didn't really want one.
Yeah. He didn't want a fence.
Okay.
I think we'll just about have to screen it one way or the other.
And it does allow...
To follow up or...
It does allow the Planning Commission quite a bit of discretion now in that section. As far as it talks about vegetative buffering or a fence or a berm or...
Can you bring that picture back up?
Yeah, basically...
I went to a lot of work to clear that. I hate to do that.
And really the only area where it calls for buffering is really between a nightly rental
and then existing
houses, really. So it really just be somewhere... Right through here.
Well,
the guy in the right house is not having no complaints. He's
no.
Robert. And I mean, really, he's got a fence here.
His backyard's
fenced in.
He might use that same fence and take it away from the backyard and just screen down that and make a cross fence. I don't know. But if you go in there and you follow the buffering regulations and stuff on that, well, it's going to lap over there in the yard. It looks to me like, I mean, maybe I'm thinking personally what I wouldn't want.
Right.
If possible, I don't know. But what you used to get to on these vegetative buffers is they either, after it's all passed or dismissed, they either cut it down or ignore it.
Yeah, it either looks like trash or they get rid of it.
Yeah.
He can put in chain link with slats in it, right, Bob?
Sorry. I didn't catch you.
It can be chain linked and slatted, I think, according to regulations.
Yeah.
Or wood, and it's got to be 6 foot high.
It allows quite a bit of it allows the Planning Commission some discretion.
Am I not wrong? I mean, you guys are, what you said, it seems correct. The only one that has to be addressed is the one with the neighbor across the road.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to
submission either way on how you're going to vote or anything. It's none of my business. Right. But I just say, if it does possibly be approved and everything, I think it's something that we need to talk about at the next meeting. And I'm done.
Yes, sir.
Were there something we could help you with, sir?
No, I'm just...
You're just listening?
He's just enjoying.
Are you learning anything?
Do you want a job? And I guess that concept meeting he said we're going to have, where the guy was
You know, I noticed one other thing, and I read every letter in this thing. I read through what he put online and everything, I am really surprised that the dock owners are so involved in this, because there is no mention anywhere
of a dock and any use of the dock or even advocating that
they can even, it says
no
they can go swimming.
It just says they could swim. The lake is nearby.
Yeah.
There's no mention.
And I did notice that on that thing.
I didn't understand. There was so much trash, but it was
they've had problems.
That's already there.
I know Larry and Rhonda personally, known them for years, and they have problems down there. There's no question about it.
The parking's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a fairly
better not speak out of school, because we're not voting on anything.
It's a fairly typical rural public use area is what it is.
Right. Yep.
It has been for years.
And they're all trashed.
All crowded.
I know where there's another one over by Blue Eye. Down on the old Lady Stevens' property.
I didn't give you the last one. I apologize. Okay, guys. Is there anything else we want
to adjourn?
I say it. I beat
it. Everybody in favor? Got in on that.
Everybody in favor of
all in favor, stand up.
Aye.